مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Whenever you come to a gathering of Dawat Islami, the Muballigh, before he begins the speech, he will give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Paak. Now, there's many reasons for this. One, so that you understand the importance of reciting Durood-e Paak. Second, that you become habitual, make it a habit of reciting Durood-e Paak. Third, you can remember it and pass it on to others, that other people become habitual in reciting Durood-e Paak. But also, when you listen to these blessings, you understand the status and the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. We learn about the life, the teachings, and the sacrifices that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. But at the same time, if we understand his authority, is understand his position, then inshallah that will develop more love inside us. For example, if you know somebody, the status of how great they are, how big they are, then automatically you start to respect them more because of their status, their authority, their position. And when we understand the authority of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will understand his status, and inshallah it'll develop love inside us. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Paak. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, he tells us, he guides us to perform the Hajj that is farz upon you. And we all know that Hajj is farz upon us once in our life, only once. And that is when you are physically and financially capable, you perform that Hajj. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you perform that Hajj that is farz upon you, you'll get the reward of participating in 20 ghazwat. Now, a ghazwat is a battle in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself participated in. Now, obviously, none of us could do this. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you perform that hajj that is a farz upon you, you'll get the same reward as if you participated in 20 ghazwat. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say that if a person sends Durood e Paak upon me, he will get the same reward as well. Allahu Akbar. You know, hajj is only farz once. None of us can participate in a battle in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in. But young or old, strong or weak, rich or poor, we can all recite Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habibs. We've said it many times before. I don't know if I've said it here, but please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Paak. In our daily lives, there are times where we are waiting for things to happen. We're waiting for our next customer. We're waiting to see the doctor. We're waiting for this. We're waiting for that. And this waiting time should never be wasted time. And one of the best ways of utilizing that time is sending Durood-e Paak. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Paak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. We want to talk a little bit about the authority of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We come to understand also that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had authority. He has such a great authority that none of us ever have. None of us will ever have. He had the authority to make Shariat, and he had the authority to change Shariat. And there's many instances, I'm going to share some with you. In one instance, he said about the blessed Miswak Sharif, that if I did not realize that it was difficult upon my ummah, I would have made Miswak wajib upon you before every salah. Meaning that if he wished, he could have done this. He could have made it wajib upon us. He had the authority to do this, but he didn't do this. And another, probably one of my personal favorite examples, when the Hajj was prescribed upon the Muslims, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you've told us that Hajj is farz upon us. Is Hajj farz every year? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is Hajj farz every year? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. He was asked a second time, he was asked a third time. And after the third time when he remained silent, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I was to say yes to you, then Hajj would have been farz upon you every single year. Allahu Akbar. Have you ever thought about that? Now when you go home, I want you to do one thing. Get your calculator there, get your phones out. We say that 3 million people, 3.5 million people are on the Hajj. I say, you know, look, you get it, no? 3.5 million divided by 1.7 billion. 3.5 million divided by 1.7 billion, and you realize that the total number of Muslims that are on the Hajj every year represent 0.002% of the total world Muslim population. If the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fard upon you every year," Allahu Akbar. This is the wisdom that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because at that time it would have been easy. They were living there, they were in the locality, every year they perform Hajj. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that for my ummah it would be difficult. He knew that for my ummah it would be impossible. But he could have said, "Yes, farz upon you every year." And then think about the difficulties we would have faced then. But this is the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. The wisdom that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. The foresight that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that he knew my ummah would be this great one day. And if we look at all the events that have taken place in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're all there to explain to us his status. If we look at the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment we are told that people will go from prophet to prophet and ask them to intercede for them. They will go to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. He said, "I cannot intercede for you." Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. They will all go to them. "Ya Nabi Allah, please intercede for us." And all of them will say, "No, I cannot intercede for you." And on that day, when they get to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be the one that will intercede for us. And he said that on that day, he will be taught. He will be taught kalams. He will praise Allah Azza wa Jalla in such a way that nobody has ever praised Allah Azza wa Jalla in that way. And as a result of that praising, he will be instructed to take all those people into paradise that have iman the size of a mustard seed. This is the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all of the anbiya, all of the messengers were given one dua. Make this dua, whatever dua you make. Allah Azza wa Jalla said to all the prophets, "Make a dua. Whatever dua you make, it will be accepted." And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of the anbiya, all of the messengers made the dua in this dunya. I saved my dua. I saved it for the Day of Judgment. And on the Day of Judgment, I will do my dua for my ummah. Allahu Akbar. And he said on that day, there will be thrones lined up. And on these thrones will all be the anbiya will be there. All the prophets will be sitting on the thrones. But there will be one throne that will be empty. And that will be the throne of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he will be running around the plains looking for his ummati, gathering his ummati and bringing them into paradise. But have you ever thought about it? You've probably heard this many, many times. But have you ever thought about it? That is Allah Azza wa Jal not capable? Allah Azza wa Jal, if he wished, he could have said, "Jannat, dozak, Jannat, dozak, Jannat, dozak." He could have done this. There was no need for the Day of Judgment. But the Day of Judgment is set up to show to us the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From this we understand his great status that he had. And from this we realize that what authority the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. You know, when you also many, many times you've heard about the three questions of the grave. Many, many times you'll have heard these questions. But have you ever thought about why these three questions? Man Rabbuka, who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? And what will happen is all those people that say, "I believe in a creator. I believe in a super person that will runs the dunya, that has all the all-seeing, the all-knowing." They will be put to one side. And all those people that do not believe in a creator, do not believe, they'll fail the test. They don't even need to go to the second question. So now what do you have? You have people who believe in a creator. Second question, ma dinuka, what is your deen? And those people that answer, "My deen is Islam," they will be put to one side. And all the rest will be put to the next side. So what have we got left over? The Muslims. Why the third question? Why the third question? And the third question will be, is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be brought to you and you will be asked, "What did you say about this person? What did you know about this person?" And so this shows to us the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that day. Now if I was to ask you here, sitting here today, tell me about your mother. Tell me about your father. Especially those brothers that have lost a parent. Because what happens is when you've got your parents with you, you don't love them as much. It's a natural thing, this. You don't realize what a favor Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed upon you with your parents. It's only when you lose a parent and you realize the value of your parent. If I was to ask you, tell me about your father, tell me about your mother, you could probably talk 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. "My mother did this, my mother did this, my father did this, my father did this for me, my father did that for me." Now, I ask you, tell me about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are told that you cannot be a true mu'min until you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than yourself and your parents. What do we know about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We know about our mother, we know about our father. What do we know about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we know how he lived his life? Do we know what he did? Do we know what sacrifices he did for us? Do we know the du'as that he made for us? Do we know about these things? We should know about these things. We should learn about these things. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our ideal role model. Role model for 1400 years ago, role model for today, and role model until the day of judgment. But unfortunately, we don't know anything about him. We've not learned anything about him. We're afraid of following him. And we're afraid of finding out about things. And we need to do this. We need to find out about his life. And because we are told that our iman is dependent upon loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we need to look at those people that love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see how they loved him. Look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A companion came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, a Bedouin, and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when will the day of judgment be?" Now normally the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked a question, he would give an answer. But this time, rather than giving an answer, he replied with a question. Normally he gave an answer, but this time he replied with a question. The Bedouin said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when will the day of judgment be?" And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "What have you prepared for it?" Nowadays everybody is asking this question. Oh, this sign of time has come, the end of time has come. This river is drying up, this is happening, this is happening. These are the end of times. These are all the signs of the end of times. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "When is the day of judgment?" could he not have answered? Without doubt he could have answered. But he said, "No, what have you prepared for it? What have you prepared for it?" And the Bedouin replied, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've not done a lot. I've not done a lot. I love Allah and I love his Rasul." And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You will be with the person you love." And on that day the companions were so happy. They were so happy because they realized that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inshallah we will be with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we claim to love. We claim to love. But do we really love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And I'll give you an example. Again, I'm going to use the parents' example. A person claims to love their father. "I love my father. I love my father. I love my..." And he tells everybody, "I love my father." He even makes a badge, and on the badge it says, "I love my father." He writes poetry in praise of his father, that "My father is this, my father is this, my father's done everything for me, I'm willing to die for my father, I'm willing to this." He puts a poster up in his car, he puts a poster up in a window, praising his father. But then one day his father says to him, "Beta, can you go to the shop and get me some milk and bread?" "No, dad, I'm too busy." "Beta, can you put the rubbish?" "No, dad, I'm too busy." "Beta, don't go there, you shouldn't be going." "Why can't I go there? I'm grown up now, I can do what I want." What would you say about that child who claims to love his father but never listens to him? You say he's deluded. You say he's confused. He doesn't love his father. Why? Because he doesn't listen to his father. We say we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we listen to him? Do we obey him? Do we adopt his sunnah? Do we follow in his footsteps? Do we love the people who love him? Do we hate the people who hate him? This is a sign of true love. Love is not just here. Love is not just waving a flag once a year. Love is not putting your lives up. Yes, these are all signs of love. They are showing love. But love is not a part-time job. You know, if you love your mother, when do you love your mother? You say, "I love her all my life." It's not, "Oh, I just love her on a Friday." Yeah. Or, "I love her during the month of Ramadan." Or, "I love her on this." No, it's you love that person all your life and you show it. So for us to claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to show it. We have to live it. And unfortunately, what has happened is we're not doing this. And if you look at the companions, how they loved, Allahu Akbar. They showed that love in everything that they did. You know, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had this competition. Nowadays when we compete with them, what do we compete with? Who's going to have the biggest car? Who's going to have the biggest koti back home? Who's going to have the biggest house? Who's got the nicest? This is our competition. Who's got the newest phone? Who's got the nice newest PC tablet? This is our competition. The competition that the companions had was, who can please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most? That was their competition. And they would live their lives trying to make the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happen. And that was how they showed their love. Time doesn't permit me. I'm just going to give you a few examples. One incident, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had bought a horse from a non-Muslim. And he said to him that, "I'm going to come at such a time to collect the horse. I'm giving you the money, But I can't take the horse now. Here's the money. I'll come back later on. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back later on. And the person said, I don't know you. Who are you? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I came earlier on. I give you the money. I told you I would come at this time. You know, I've come to God. What are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? Now you can imagine the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being, people started to gather because the commotion started happening. And one companion, Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is happening here? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I bought this horse from this person. I gave him the money. Yeah? Now he's going back on the deal. And that person said, if you are telling the truth, if you are telling the truth, he said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are telling the truth, produce a witness. And he knew that at the time of the transaction, there was no witness. It was just the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and him. And when Hazrat Khuzaimah heard this, that this person is saying, produce a witness, Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu said, I'm your witness. I'm your witness. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him. What's going on here? Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu, what are you saying? I swear that you bought this horse of this person. Condition puri ho gayi, shart puri ho gayi. Handed over the horse and went away. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu anhu. Ya Khuzaimah, you were not there when I bought the horse. How do you know whether I bought the horse or not? Yeah? How do you listen to the answer? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have we seen Allah? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have we seen heaven? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have we seen hell? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if on your say we can believe Allah exists, if on your say we can say believe heaven exists, on your say we can believe hell exists, on your say can we not believe that you bought the horse of this person? This is love. And it states that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. Allahu Akbar. You know, you can close your eyes and just envision how fortunate those companions were that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at them. How lucky they were. You know, you can give everything in your life to receive that smile. That's how lucky they were. They received the smile from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they sacrificed it everything. Nowadays we have these nara, maut bhi kabool hai, but we can't get off of Fajr. Yeah, what kind of nara is that? When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we're going to need money to spread the deen. And on that day, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked people to just spend in the way of Allah azza wa jal. Nowadays, when we ask people to spend in the way of Allah azza wa jal and people knock on your door, we look through the keyhole and we pretend we're not there. Be quiet, be quiet, everybody be quiet. Chande wale aage, chupo ja saare. We don't give anything. And on that day, they stayed that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, when he was sitting at home and he heard this, he thought to himself that every time something happens, Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq wins. Today I'm going to win. You know, this is the competition that they had. I'm going to win today. How am I going to win? Everything I've got. Listen, this sounds easy to do, but to do it's not easy. Everything I'm going to got, I'm going to cut in half. Half of my money, half of my provisions, half of my clothes, half of my food, half of everything I will keep, and half I will give to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays we find it hard to give a few quid. He brought it and presented it at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he was asked that, what have you brought, what have you left? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything I have, half of it I brought and half of it I've left. Allahu Akbar. But Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had not arrived yet. Allahu Akbar. When he arrived, he was wearing a cloak made of jute. Now jute is that material that sometimes nowadays you get in sacks, but 10, 15 years ago when rice used to come from India and Pakistan, or flour used to come, it used to come in these sacks. Yeah, it's like a rough, like sack, if you understand what I mean. He had that, he had no buttons, and he had thorns. He had thorns holding the cloak together. Why did he come in that? Because absolutely everything that he had, right down to the last button, last needle, last grain of rice, he brought and presented it at the feet of the Prophet of Allah. And when he was asked, Ya Abu Bakr, what have you brought and what have you left? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything I have I have brought, and for my family I've left Allah and His Rasul. And that is all that they need. These are the sacrifices that they made. This is the love that they made. You know, this is what we need to learn how to do this. And the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't just love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they love everything attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fast forward from the companions to 1,200, 1,300 years later, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, when people come back from the Hajj, nowadays when people come back from the Hajj, what do? We go and visit them. We go there. We ask them, how was your Hajj? What was the hotel like? Did you go to KFC? What was the food? These are all the sort of questions that we asked. Yeah. And then hopefully we say to them, hopefully we hope that we get some Zamzam water, we get some khajur, and we ask them how it was. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he used to go and visit people. Remember, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat is the greatest scholar of his time, the imam of his time. He would go and visit people when they come back from the Hajj. But he only have one question. Only one question he would ask. And the question was, have you visited Medina? That was the question. Have you visited Medina? Didn't ask anything else. How your Hajj was? Was it hard? Was it rough? What was it like? Have you visited Medina? And when the person would reply that, yes, I've visited Medina, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, the greatest scholar of his time, the imam of his time, would get up and get down and kiss the feet of the person that had been to Medina. This is called respect. This is called love. Again, the Ahlul Bayt, the Sayyids, these are also connected to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to learn to love them. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, when he was in his office writing work, he was sitting there writing, and every couple of minutes he would stand up, put his pen down and stand by his. He would do that every few minutes. Someone said to him, Sayyidi, what are you doing? He said, there is a Sayyid child in my street. And whenever that Sayyid child passes by my window, I stand up out of respect. The child goes past and I carry on with my work. That is love. That is showing love. And the people that love, they don't ask questions. Nowadays we ask how, what, where, why, when, ye kyun, wo kyun. We ask all of these questions. True lovers don't ask questions. They just follow. All I know is my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it and I will do it. Now tell me, where's the logic in that? Is there logic? No, there's no logic. There's just love. And nowadays what we do is we ask too many questions. What is the benefit in the miswak? What is the benefit in the beard? What is the benefit in the imamashi? What is the benefit in this? What is the benefit in this? Lovers don't ask questions. And we need to realize this. We need to change ourselves and follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why we are failing. We are failing because we're not following the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the final khutbah, he said, I leave you two things. I leave you two things. Follow these. You will never go astray. The Quran and my way. The Quran and my way. My way being the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I ask you, I'm not going to ask you to answer this question. Where is the Quran in your house now? When was the last time you read the Quran? You wrapped it up in a beautiful cloth, you put it on the top sheet, kissed it before you put it up. How do you read the Quran on a daily basis? My way, the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't even know it. And we're afraid of adopting it because, oh, what will people say if I grow a beard? What will people say if I wear an imam sharif? What will people say if I start going to the masjid? What will people say? Why are you worried about what people will say? You're not worried about what's going to happen to you on the Day of Judgment? We need to be concerned about this. And I'm going to give you an example. You go to the doctors. The doctor does these checks on you. He checks your blood pressure. He checks your blood. He does all these tests on you. And when he does all these tests on you, he says to you, oh, look, listen, you've got cholesterol. You've got blood pressure. You've got diabetes or whatever it is. And he says, here, he writes your prescription. He writes your prescription. He says, take this medicine. Take this medicine and inshallah you'll be okay. So what do you do with that prescription? You take it, you put it in your pocket, you walk out the surgery. 3 months later, you go back to your doctor and say, doctor, when I came to you 3 months ago, I was feeling bad. Now I'm feeling horrible. Now I can't get out of bed. Now I've got this pain. Now I've got that pain. What is the first thing the doctor will say to you? Did you take the medicine? Did you take the medicine? That's the first thing he will say to you. If at that moment you pull out a prescription out of your pocket and say, Dr. Saab, this prescription is here in my pocket. He's going to say, why did you come to me then? I've given you the cure for your illness. You're not taking the medicine. And nowadays, we're all facing problems. Hi, 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 mere bache. Hi, 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 mere bivi. Hi, hi, here. Hi, hi, ho. The Quran and my way, follow them, you will never go astray. We have been given the cure. We have been given the medicine, but we're not taking it. We're afraid of taking it. We're ashamed of taking it. And that is why we are failing. The Quran and my way, follow them, you will never go astray. And we need to learn to do that. We need to instill that pride inside us. We shouldn't be afraid of following the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why are we afraid of following the Sunnah? Why are we afraid of wearing a hat? Why are we afraid of wearing imamashri? Why are we afraid of wearing a beard? Why are you afraid of this? We should be proud of this. And our youngsters need to instill that pride inside them. So that when they grow up and they go to school, they go to college, they go to university, and someone says to them, look, there's a party tonight. There's going to be women there. There's going to be alcohol there. Are you coming? No, I'm Muslim. We don't do that. Who is going to give that children that pride inside them? We have to give it them. They need to realize that they are the best of creation. They're the best ummah. We need to put that pride inside them. We need to make them realize that they are the best. And they should be proud of who they are. They should not be afraid of doing things. But nowadays we're afraid. We're ashamed to follow the deen. And you know what has happened? Our deen has become a hobby. You know, what is a hobby? A hobby is something that you do when you've got a bit of time. Our deen has become a hobby. We read our namaz if we've got time. If not, never mind. Month of Ramadan comes and we see, oh, I've got loads of overtime this month. No, I'm not going to fast this month. Yeah. Oh, zakat is due. Oh, but I need to get my daughter married first. Oh, I need to finish off that koti first. Oh, I need to pay them. And we don't pay our zakat. Hajj is farz upon you. And you say, oh, no, I'll do this first. I'll do that first. I'll do this first. Remember this, my dear Islamic brothers. If Hajj is farz upon you and you do not perform that Hajj and the angel of death comes to you, you run the risk of dying without your iman. So I'm going to ask you, request you, beg you right now. If Hajj is farz upon you and you have not performed the Hajj, please make the intention right now that inshallah Azza wa Jalla will do it next year. If it's farz upon you, then make sure you do it. But we need to make this change inside ourselves. We need to be proud of who we are. We need to start following the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we will be successful. You know, nowadays, like I said earlier, we ask too many questions. You know, this Sunnah. Allah and His Rasul knows what is the benefit in this. But I'm going to give you my personal experience. Number one, you got this, you're getting the blessings all the time, 24 hours a day. Yeah. Number two, you know when you got this on your face, nobody asked you to go to a nightclub. Nobody asked you to go to these parties where there's going to be alcohol and women. Nobody asked you to go. Nobody invites you. Where do they invite you to? To mafali malats, to gatherings, to jalsas, to ishtamas. This, my dear Islamic brothers, is a weapon against shaitan. It protects your iman. You wake up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you think, you know what? I'm not a good person, but you know, for the sake of this, I'll make sure I don't do anything silly. This helps you. And we need to be proud of who we are. And we need to make sure that our deen is not a hobby. Our deen becomes our life. And everything else revolves around our deen, rather than our deen revolving around our life. This life is so short. We run around in this life. We run after everything in this life. And our mindset is that nowadays, even though I look like a Muslim, I might eat like a Muslim, do I think like a Muslim? No, I don't. The reason being is because my mind is running after money. My mind is not running after good deeds. It doesn't. And I'll give you the example. Shab-e Barat, you've heard of the night in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on that night, more people will have their sins forgiven than the hair of the sheep of the tribe of Bani Kalb. That is the night of forgiveness. How many of us, I ask myself, you ask yourself, how many of us spent that night repenting from the sins that we've forgiven, that we've done? Very few of us spent the whole night in ibadah. Probably none of us. But if this, people could hear me in the houses of Sheffield now, if, and I was to make an announcement today that who comes to the masjid tonight, I've got a checkbook. Whatever debt you've got, I'll write you a check. £5 check, £5,000 check, £500,000 check. I'll write you all a check. How long would the queue be outside to get our debts written off? But how long is the queue outside to get our sins written off? Nobody there. Why? Because our mind runs after money. Our mind runs after money. It doesn't run after the deen. It doesn't run after akhirat. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you read your namaz in the masjid, you get 27 times more sawab. If I was to offer you a job, £10 an hour, and I said, you can work from home, £10 an hour. But then I said to you, you know what? I'll give you £270 an hour, but you have to come to my place. You're going to say, where is it, brother? I said, well, it's a mile away. Oh, no problem. It's 5, no problem. 10 miles, no problem, I'll come. It's raining. It's no, I'll come. For £270 an hour, I'll come. Yeah, but we don't come for 27 times more sawab. This is why I'm saying to you, we need to start thinking like a Muslim. Not just look like a Muslim, but think like a Muslim. Act like a Muslim. Be proud of being a Muslim. And then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla will see a change. Amir al-Sunnah on Madani channel He states many times that the war against Shaitan will continue. The war against Shaitan will continue. What is this war? This war doesn't mean that I line you up all outside and I give you all a baseball bat and say, come on, we're going. That's not the war. Your war against Shaitan will start at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's your first battle for Salatul Fajr. That's your battle against Shaitan. The next battle is at Salatul Zuhr. The next battle is Salatul Asr, Salatul Maghrib, Salatul Isha. These are all your battles. Your personal battles against Shaitan. And you have to ask yourself, am I going to win that battle or am I going to lose that battle? Am I going to let Shaitan be happy or am I going to let my Rabb be happy? This is the question you have to ask. I can't force you to read your namaz. I cannot force you to fast in the month of Ramadan. You know, there's a saying in English that you can take a horse to water, but you cannot make the horse drink. I cannot make you read your namaz. I cannot make you fast. I cannot make you pay your zakat. I cannot make you go on the hajj. All I can make you realize is the importance of doing it. And we need to understand the importance of this. And today we had a discussion with some scholars. I was sitting with the scholars and we were saying to them that every Muslim in the world knows that namaz is farz upon them. The question is, why are we not reading it? Every Muslim knows. You know, maybe when you go to the intricacies of fiqh and people don't know this ruling, they don't know that. Everybody knows about namaz. Why are we not reading namaz? Because we've not got that fear of Allah in our hearts. We're not scared. And we've removed that fear. And now we'll do anything, we'll commit any sin, we don't care. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you lose your haya, do whatever you want. If you lose your haya, do whatever you want. And what has happened now? We've lost our haya, we've lost all of this. And therefore, no sin, we're not bothered about any committing any sin now. We're not scared of committing any sin. We, as Muslims, have forgotten our true strength. Our true strength is in the haya. Our true strength is in the kirdar. Our true strength is following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we are failing, be it here, be it in our homes, be it in this country, be it around the world, it is because we have left the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the reason why we're facing all these difficulties around the world. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like I said to you many times, the Quran and my way. Follow them, you will never go astray. If we live our lives according to that golden formula, live our lives according to that golden prescription, then inshallah we will not have any problems. So please make a change in your life. Don't wait for tomorrow. Nowadays people say, oh, you know what, I'll sort myself out when I get a bit older. Who can guarantee you're going to get older? I'll sort myself out in Ramadan. How many people can you think of now that were with us last Ramadan, they're not here now? I'll sort myself out on Friday. What guarantee have you got for Friday? Remember this, I'm going to finish with this. You only have 3 days in your life. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. Yesterday, gone. All you can do is repent for what you've done wrong. Tomorrow, who can guarantee to me here? Can anybody give me a certificate here and guarantee that I will be alive tomorrow? Nobody. The only day you've got is today. Today is the only day that you've got. If you want to make a change, today's the day. Make an intention to change that from now on, I'm not going to miss my namaz. From now on, I'm going to fast in the month of Ramadan. From now on, I'm going to read the Quran. From now on, I'm going to be proud of who I am and I'm going to live my life and I'm going to try and think as a Muslim should think. As Muslims, we are lucky. As I mentioned, Shab-e Barat, we have them. We have Laylatul Qadr. We have Jummah. We have all of these events that take place and all of these are blessings to us if only we realize that all of these are opportunities to gain more rewards. And that's how we should be doing. Instead of running after the pound sign, run after the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nowadays, people have bucket lists. I don't know if you've heard the term bucket list. Maybe some of the youngsters have heard the term. A bucket list is basically people make a list that I want to do this before I die. I want to go to Paris. I want to go to London. I want to do this. I want to get a sports car. I want to get a semi-detached house. And we make a list of all these things. And you may have made a list in your life that these are the things I want to do. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer. Be honest with yourself. Where on that list is the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal? And if on that list, the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is not number one, then that's where we're going wrong. Everything else needs to come after that. Our aim in life is to please Allah Azza wa Jal, to achieve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what happens is our list, it doesn't even have it on it. Maybe because you hear, yeah, it's on the list, but reality it's not. And if we are honest with ourselves, it's not. Our aim is everything else. And then if we've got a bit of time, we'll do something. And that's where we need to change. Don't be part-time lovers. Don't be part-time Muslims. Live your life as a Muslim. Live your life as a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, all your life. And inshallah, azza wa jal, we'll be successful. And we'll see that in our dark and lonely graves. And we'll see on the Day of Judgment. I pray to Allah azza wa jal, if I have said anything wrong, may Allah azza wa jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah azza wa jal, Allah give me and you the ability, tawfiq, to think about what I've said, to pass this message on to others as well, and to make a change in ourselves as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi lameen.